I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And this week on the show, we have stuff, which is good because when you don't have stuff, you really don't have a show. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we have some stuff, just some. I've noticed that the news of late has been boring. Talking about the tech news, of course. Regular news, who cares? Just looking at tech news. Alrighty, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes. I like doing that. I don't know why. It's just fun. And that's what it's all about, is fun. So, a new Google Chromecast is coming. Now, for those of you that just bought a Chromecast, you're probably going, what? I just bought this one. That one's old. It's a couple years old now. Yeah, but I just bought it. Well, you should know these things. No, but there is a new one coming. The second generation Chromecast with backdrop feeds, better Wi-Fi, and fast play. What's fast play, you ask? It plays things faster. No, we'll see. This is an article on 9to5 Google, the blog, of course, about all things googly, by Stephen Hall. According to internal documents that 9to5 Google has obtained, huge updates to the Chromecast platform are just around the corner. The long-rumored second-generation Chromecast hardware is set to debut at Google's event later this month. That would be September, the month that we are currently occupying. Yes, packing many new features, including feeds for the device main screen, improved Wi-Fi, a new feature called Fast Play, and more. First up is the new Chromecast hardware itself, which you can see pictured in the article, which, by the way, is on the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Anyway, that said, the new Chromecast comes in three colors. What? Who cares? A balloon? Is it a pair of earmuffs? Your guess is as good as ours. It's a little round thing with little things sticking out of it. Google's not only changing the appearance, though. This thing has lots of changes on the inside as well. Which include 802.11ac band of Wi-Fi. Fandroid. Cute. Previously surfaced FCC documents claiming that claimed were for the next Nexus player showing 802.11ac Wi-Fi support. But we've learned that those documents are actually describing the new second generation Chromecast. The original Chromecast only supported 802.11b, g, and n. The original Chromecast only supported... I just said that. Why do they have the same sentence in here twice? Redundancy. Anyway, it's actually in the article twice. There's also a new feature called Fast Play. Assumably? That's not a word. Anyway, along with the improved Wi-Fi features, Fast Play will allow the Chromecast to establish a connection much quicker and play content more seamlessly when pressing the cast button on the connected device. This must mean that it will actually work now. It works kind of okay now, but probably this will fix it. Let's hope so. This is one area that many users find frustrating with the current Chromecast, and if Google has made the experience anything close to this, Fast Play might be the device's most compelling feature. In other words, the fact that it finally works like it's supposed to is the most compelling feature. Yes, well, now I will say this. I like my Chromecast. I really do. Really. And I've actually gone to a great deal of trouble recently to get it to work. I found out something important. For those of you that have Chromecast that you get frustrated with and throw across the room, First of all, throwing your Chromecast across the room is a bad idea. Just saying. But here's why you may be frustrated. If you have your Chromecast plugged into a HDMI switch, where you can switch your HDMI inputs, it may not work consistently. It really needs to be plugged directly into the old television. Yes. So if you do that, it works better. And occasionally, the little cast icon, when you click it, it will say no devices available under Windows 10. That's because Microsoft is evil. Just saying. Okay. Hopefully, Google will be able to figure that out and fix that with the software. They do software updates. I don't know if you're aware that if your Chromecast is plugged in, it's getting updates occasionally over the old Wi-Fi. And so that's a good thing. But they really need to fix the whole Windows 10 thing. I'm just saying. Anyway, here's an article. This article kind of makes my day. This article, the title is Microsoft Runs Its Cloud on Linux. You gotta love that, folks. I mean, if you're gonna establish a cloud service and you want it to be 100% reliable, what are you gonna do? You're gonna put it on Linux, not Windows. And of course, Microsoft said, don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain here. We're just gonna use Linux because we want Microsoft Azure to work. Okay. In a blog post on Thursday, Microsoft Azure Networking Principal Architect Kamala Subrahmanyam, can't pronounce that name, I'm sorry, Kamala. Just one of those things. My tongue just won't do it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Explained how the company developed a new software system dubbed Azure Cloud Switch for running the networking gear that Microsoft's cloud service depends on. Network switches typically come with their own signature software baked into the product. The problem Microsoft faced, according to was integrating the software that ships with those switches with a wide variety of software it uses to run its Azure cloud service. So Microsoft had to build its own switch software using Linux. I love it. Yes. I just have this feeling of we win. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So that's a good thing. All right, another new article item on Chromecast. This is a slightly different thing, and that is there's a new thing called Chromecast Project Hendrix. This is not the same thing as the Chromecast 2. This is different. It is an audio-only... I miswrote that. I said audio-obly. It's only. I missed a letter there. You know the B and the N are very close on the keyboard. That's how that happened. I'll fix that. An audio-only Chromecast is coming that will enable your speakers. Yes. So, the way this works is, this is not to be confused with Google Cast for Audio, which is Google's platform for making speakers and other hardware, directly compatible with the Chromecast. Chromecast Audio is a second Chromecast scheduled to be made official at Google's September 29th event, alongside many other announcements. Sources have also informed us that the device goes by the code name Hendrix, like maybe Jimi Hendrix? Could be. Which makes sense, given it's audio and music focused. I think they got that too. As seen in the image we published earlier today, the device can plug directly into any speaker by way of a 3.5 millimeter headphone cable, and it appears Google might plan to include one with the device. That would be nice. The device will, according to documents and sources, have multi-room support, which could mean that several devices could power multiple speakers outputting the same audio at the same time. Additionally, the device is said to have the ability to mirror the audio coming from your Chrome browser or Android phone. Google brags the device will have high-quality audio and that Spotify will indeed support it. Cool. So there you go. Now, whoa! Ah, Fred. About that. You know, if you just give me just a little warning. Just a little. A tiny bit. Plus, I had this issue. I had a bug was flying directly toward my mouth, and I was trying to avoid that, and then the drum roll. It was a thing. It was a confluence of events. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week this week is a web-based software thing. And that, of course, would be something that would work with your browser so that you can even use it on your Chromebook. So this is basically a website that's actually software that's a website that's actually software. Yes. So it's called Draw.io, Draw.io, which, amazingly enough, is also the web address. Draw.io. Yes. And I have a video here on the blog that shows how this works. It's basically used for flowcharting. If you've ever needed to flowchart things, you know, if this, then that kind of things, then this will help you do it. And it will look pretty. So cool. I like that. I will probably use it for some various things that I have going on at work that require flowcharting. I know, me flowcharting. It's come to that. Anyway, last item for this week is this. There's a human-powered speed record that has just been broken a few days ago by a guy riding a bicycle. You're like, what? Yes, this guy was riding his bicycle at 85.71 miles per hour, breaking the world record. Now you might say, wait a minute, Dr. Bill, hold on. I ain't buying that. Almost 86 miles an hour? Yes, I didn't say it was an ordinary bicycle or that the guy had superpowers. No, that's not the case. It's a muscular dude, yes, but he's using a very special, highly designed, technologically advanced bicycle that looks more like a cigar. Like a cigar tube thing. I'm kind of dating myself on that, I know. Remember the old metal aluminum cigar tubes? I know, I don't smoke, but my dad used to, and they were real cool. But anyway. So, the article I have here from the Market Business blog by Donald V. Morris says, what's the fastest you've ever gone on a bicycle? Maybe 20 miles an hour? Close to 30? Maybe on a hill? The Aerovelo team just more than doubled that in their bullet-shaped speed bike, reaching a speed of 85.71 miles per hour and breaking the world record for the fastest human-powered vehicle at the same time. Now, this event is still going on, so they may yet break that record again, which would be cool. See, wouldn't it be cool if they could just get it up to 90? 90 miles an hour with a bicycle? Dude, talk about points. I mean, you'd be getting some kind of points. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Anyway, this is from Battle Mountain, Nevada, where they have a stretch of road that's just a long, flat stretch of road. They recently repaved it, so it'd be really, really nice and clean, so to speak. They block the road, and they allow people, teams, to run these speed bikes. And it basically, it's bullet-shaped. It kind of forces the pilot to lean back almost completely horizontal. So he's leaning back on his back, and his feet are going really fast. And it's got all this gearing and weirdness that makes it run very fast. Dude. It is, the contest is called the International Human-Powered Vehicle Association Contest. Cool. Now, me on a bicycle, I ain't going to be doing 86 miles an hour. I'm telling you that. I'd be doing good to get it up to maybe 5 or 10 miles an hour. Of course, now, the kind of bicycle I like is the one with the big motors. Yes! Harley type ones. Vroom vroom, you know what I'm saying? I could do 86 miles an hour with that, I'm telling you. I've actually done more than that, but don't tell anybody. Anyway, hopefully you found that interesting. I was going to put it under geek culture. I'll go back and change it to put that under geek culture because it's highly geeky to develop a cosmic bicycle that some guy can go up to 86 miles an hour on a bicycle. He didn't even have a flux capacitor. You know what I'm saying? Of course, if he'd had a flux capacitor, he could have gone through time. That would have been so cool. Anyway, enough of that. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillDaily.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.